Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's hit the guest line. Let's welcome aboard Howard Beck, senior NBA writer at Bleacher Report, joins us now. Hey, Howard, Mark Melusis and Andrew Bogus with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Good morning, guys.
Howard, let's start here. Kawhi Leonard down in San Antonio. How did it get this bad this quickly over the span of a calendar year?
I don't think it's clear, frankly. It's been going on for a while, and I think we still are far from having the full story. I mean, the broad outlines are there, which is that he came back from a leg injury that, or did not come back from, had doubts about his recovery, rehabilitation, had doubts about medical assessment of the Spurs medical staff that said he was good to go. And there was even a moment in the season, or more than one, where Greg Popovich said, you know, our guys have cleared him, and you'll have to ask his people why he's not playing. And so there was a clear lack of trust, it seems, between the camps, between the parties, the team and Kawhi Leonard and his camp, the difference of opinion. And, you know, things just kind of disintegrated from there. Personally, I still am not completely sold on the idea that he's going to get traded. We haven't heard anything directly from anybody speaking on his behalf. We haven't heard directly from the Spurs. And so while it certainly looks like this is where it's all going, and all the warning signs are there, and it certainly seems like there's some finality, in terms of what Kawhi Leonard wants and what that resolution would entail, I still think that there's a chance that these guys get together, have a conversation, and figure this out. The Spurs have always operated, with the utmost of wisdom and class, and I can't imagine that this would happen to them, and it seemingly has. But I give that organization and its leadership the benefit of the doubt, given their long track record, and I got to believe that sanity would eventually prevail here.
If, though, Howard, there is a trade, do the other NBA teams care about any of this? What happened?
Yes.
Who's wrong? Who's right? Or they just want Kawhi Leonard?
Yes. No. Listen, what we all in the public and the media and those of us who cover the NBA feel about the Spurs generally is consistent with what other teams feel about the Spurs, in that you if you're a rival GM or coach or owner, you have to be thinking, listen, I've watched these guys operate for a long time. They do everything the right way. If their franchise star is suddenly disgruntled and wants out over some kind of lack of trust over how his health was handled, I'm going to wonder more about him than I am about them. So before you go and make that investment, one, he's only under contract for a year, so you got to be assured that you can re-sign him. But two and three, and more importantly in my mind, two, is he actually healthy? Because he wouldn't come back last year when the Spurs said he was healthy enough to play. And three, what does that say about his mental state? I mean, you have to wonder about whether Kawhi Leonard has some kind of mental block in all of this, or whether there's something else that's driven this divide between him and the team. So, no, I'm not just saying, hey, screw it, this guy was an MVP candidate a year ago. I'm all in on him, and I'm going to trade all my best assets to get him. You need reassurances about him physically. You need reassurances about his general makeup right now. Where's he at? Why did this happen? I want those explanations if I'm making a trade for him.
We're talking to Howard Beck, Bleacher Report. All right, Howard, let's transition away from Kawhi over to LeBron. Bluntly, ask you this way. I mean, there have been reports already. They're going to continue to come. We really don't ramp it up till after the draft come July 1st, right? But do you think LeBron James is done in Cleveland?
I mean, all signs point that way to me. And I don't mean signs like his signs he's given off or anything like that. I mean, nobody really knows what's, in LeBron's head right now. But, he just came off of what was remarkably an MVP caliber season at age 33 in his 15th year. If he were on cruise control right now, coasting into his twilight, you play it out at home in Cleveland, and you have a nice few victory laps, and you probably don't make the finals again, but hey, you know, that's fine. But that's not the case. He's still playing at MVP level, and you don't want to waste that, and I don't see why he would. And we know that he's always been about trying to compete for championships every single year. He's been in the finals in 9 of his 15 seasons, which is insane. And there's no reason to want to let go of that. So to do that, I don't think he can stay in Cleveland. Cleveland doesn't have the goods. They don't have the players around him to do it again. I know they were just in the finals, obviously, but it took an insane effort by him to get them there. And they really don't have the means to add the right stars around him again. The 8th pick in the draft is not going to produce that guy. And if that guy is a star, it's going to be a few years most likely. That's usually how long it takes. Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell notwithstanding, those guys are the exception to the rule. So the 8th pick is probably not helping you in the near term. It's not valuable enough to get you another star to put next to LeBron. That roster's a mess. I just don't see what the attraction is of him staying if it's just about contending for titles. If it's about personal, family, ties to the region, sure, you could see it. But I don't think he's staying.
Can you see him going to a place where he wouldn't necessarily, not a secondary role, obviously, but where he wouldn't have to be alone? Or does he want to be the alpha guy and just plug in some other parts around him?
Well, I mean, he wants to be the alpha guy, but I mean, he wants to, look, he was the alpha guy, but Kyrie Irving still took more shots and scored more points in his final season with LeBron. Like, LeBron doesn't have a problem with somebody else who is also an incredible offensive talent next to him. Like, he's done that before, clearly. He did it with Dwayne Wade also. I mean, he doesn't need to dominate entirely. He also doesn't need to slide into a secondary role. What I think he does need, and what I'm sure he recognizes because he's incredibly smart about this stuff and no one knows his own body better, he does need somebody to take some of the load off of him. He can't keep going at the rate that he was this past season, given the stage of the career he's in. And he knows that as the years go on, as he's hit 34, 35, 36, it's going to be more and more necessary to have somebody else who's younger and spryer with a lot of offensive talent to lean on, because eventually he's not going to be able to carry that much of a load. And he also knows that if you ever want to beat the Warriors, you know, I mean, they got 2 MVPs and 2 other All-Stars. You're going to need some serious high-caliber help.
All right. Well, how about if you had to venture again? I mean, is it – everyone seems to think it's Los Angeles and the Lakers, Howard. Are you thinking that that's where eventually he ends up as well?
I mean, to me, it makes the most sense in a lot of ways, but it only makes sense if these other guys going there with him. As I've tried to caution everybody, as everyone speculates on this, you can't base where he's going on what rosters look like today. You know, whatever today, June 19th. It's not about what they look like today. It's what they look like on July 1st or maybe on July 8th, I think, is when the moratorium ends. Like, it's going to be about what teams do to get the right help around him. I mean, you know, there's one kind of ready-made scenario in Philadelphia and with cap room and a couple of young stars, but they are pretty young stars. Houston obviously would have to make a massive number of moves just to make space for him or make a trade for him. The Lakers have some decent young talent, but they're not ready to contend with the Warriors with LeBron alone. So anywhere he goes, it's going to require other moves and probably acquiring other guys. So, yeah, in the dream scenario for the Lakers where they somehow swing a trade for Kawhi Leonard using some of their young pieces and then use their cap room to get LeBron and Paul George and boom, they're back in business. Like, I wouldn't predict that unfolding exactly that way, but it's going to probably require something along those lines for the Lakers to make sense, unless he's going to go there, stake a claim, and then try to bring other guys there, you know, whether by the trade deadline or by next summer. But I also don't think he wants to burn a year. So, and remember, we're in an age of super teams that are formed in large part by guys texting each other and saying, hey, meet me in L.A. So LeBron and Paul George texting each other, kind of conspiring to get there, would not surprise me in the least.
Howard, how crazy will Thursday be in terms of trades during the draft?
Hard to say. It ended up being a pretty spectacular trade draft night last year with trades and specifically the Jimmy Butler deal. All the signs point in that direction. Like, there's plenty of reason to think that there will be a bunch of trades because it's a very fluid draft. There's a bunch of guys that people are intrigued by, but they're not entirely sold on. There's no clear superstar on the board. And you know, a lot of just kind of ambiguity in those lottery spots. So that there's certainly some potential there for teams wanting to trade down and try to pick up assets along the way. Other teams that might really like a guy that you don't, and they're going to try to trade up. And you know, there's always at least a disgruntled star or two floating around somewhere in the league who needs to be traded. So we'll see how that all plays out. I think it could be a pretty busy night, but we'll see.
Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, covers the association. Howard, we certainly appreciate a couple minutes this morning. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, all right?
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.